You will hit a wall. Hit a wall. Hit a wall. Hit a wall. Hit a wall.
The wall?
The wall.
The wall?
Wall to wall, brother.
You're breaking the wall!
This wall.
The wall.
You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers and itsnotagameillinois.com. We are very proud of the group of football experts that we have put together as regulars during football season on this show, and even the one-offs that we have on often provide all kinds of wisdom to get you ready for a Bears game. So what we do is Adam Studzinski selects the best of the week, and he puts it together in something that we call the Wall of Sound. On Monday, Anthony Heron discussed the impact of big Andrew Billings against the Texans.
Andrew Billings beat that man to death. Sweet love was made to Peter Skoronski yesterday by the big fella, and I appreciated it.
And it wasn't only on rundowns. And I know a lot of times, but you know, somebody just, you know, sees either big guy, they hear someone is one of the best linemen in football, and they just kind of assume that every aspect of their game is dominant. But Andrew Billings, when he joined up with the Bears going into last season, he wasn't thought of as an exceptional pass rusher early in the season. He didn't show a lot of pass rush penetration into the backfield. His game improved in that regard throughout the season last year. And now coming into this season, first game of the year, not only was he impactful against blocks, but in some passing downs, we saw Andrew Billings getting into the backfield, getting to the edge of blockers and being really effective in that manner. Bears defensive front as a whole, I don't view it as all their problems being solved, but the first game out of the books with against an offensive line where that team has spent some draft capital and free agent capital over the last couple of seasons here to put a good, formidable group together. I thought it was a matchup that the Bears D-line would be challenged and tested by. And schematically, Tennessee did some really effective things running the football early, but I didn't necessarily put a lot of the ill fits in the Bears run on the D-line early in the game. And then as the game wore on, and especially in the second half, when the game starts to near cold crust depth and you got to be able to lean on some aspect of your team, the Bears D-line was really impactful throughout. So I thought for the first time out here, for the first game of the season, with a lot of that youth and inexperience that we're still hoping to see growth from, yes, Andrew Billings was exceptional. Javon Dexter had some really nice moments as well. Talked to you guys about his pad level a good bit. There were some really nice looks at Javon Dexter using exceptional pad level for his size, getting into blockers for run fits initially and then converting into a pass rusher, getting rid of those guys. There was some good tape out there being shown by the Bears D-line.
Were my eyes deceiving me, or did I see Andrew Billings at times lined up on the outside shoulder of the guard in what we would call a three technique?
You did, and I'm wondering what the purpose was for, because it happened. It happened pretty frequently in the game with Billings and Dexter in the game together, where at least last season, Billings was your nose. And he was the guy playing, you know, shade on the center on a consistent basis, and then the other guys would kind of, you know, flop to either three technique. This season, at least this first game, that's not what the Bears did. Now, is it? And in my mind, I'm not convinced that Javon Dexter is the style of three technique that Matt Eberflus would maybe value most in this scheme, because he's not a guy with the consistent suddenness, like that burst out of the stance I was just describing from Daryl Taylor that some teams and a number of guys do have on the interior of their D-line. He's not necessarily a really sudden player in that regard, but he can take up space, he can eat up blocks, he can penetrate, and he's showing that he can get into the backfield and make some plays here. So is it, hey, let's give Javon Dexter some looks over the nose as well. We've seen Billings start to develop his ability to penetrate as well. So just make them interchangeable. You don't have to have Dexter as the three technique consistently. You can just have them play left and right. You can have a preferred matchup at times and allow them to decide, or just go into each individual game plan and say that we're good, whoever's the nose, whoever's the three, and you can sort of, you know, have that interspersed throughout the game, just sort of depending on what the situation calls for.
Then on Tuesday, TJ Edwards helped us look ahead to the Texans, who he says
are as advertised.
They've got a bunch of weapons over there, and you know, obviously just had a really good week running the football too, and that kind of only just opens things up for him in terms of the play action game, taking shots down the field when you kind of have to load the box if you're not stopping the run. So I know that'll be a point of emphasis for us this week. You know, it's a really good football team, and you know, we're excited because we know it's a great challenge. You know, Sunday night, it doesn't get much better than that against a really high quality opponent. But you know, they got weapons everywhere. Like I said, I think their backs are really good. Their offensive line is really good, and you know, they got a guy who orchestrates it all. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. You know, it's gonna be I know it's gonna be jumping in there too. So we're excited to get down there.
TJ Edwards joins us every Tuesday, as does our quarterbacks coach, Tim Jenkins, who pushed back on Kurt Warner's claim on The Score that pure progressions aren't as good for young quarterbacks to learn.
It's very similar to what happens at a political debate, which is we can all cite one nugget that makes what I just said true, right? So it's like Kurt goes, you know, like, you know, the pure progressions, they're not successful. It's like what so-and-so did, you know, and it's like, okay, well, you also could say, oh, it's what the Miami Dolphins do. And last time I checked, that offense is rolling, right? Or it's what the Chiefs, like, there's so many things that, you know, when you're debating these things, it's like you really have to be truthful about the whole argument. To me, the whole argument is, hey, it's got to be 75-25 with a young quarterback, 25% PSL. And when do you do it? You do it on first and 10. You do it on second and short. You do it on down and distance where the defense is going to be somewhat more stagnant, right? If you were to throw one of these quarterbacks in to 100% pre and post snap look against the exotic looks that we get today in today's pass-centric NFL, the Peyton Manning interception record would be shattered by week 8. Like, it just, you can't do it. What we need is 75% pure progression, keep the staples, give them PSLs when the down and distance is going to be stagnant, it's going to be more simplified. But really, you need to help these guys by saying, hey, here's one, here's two, here's three, and then get them used to playing on time. A lot of like the criticisms of pure progressions that I'm hearing are like, you know, it's really hard to tell if the first guy's there. And it's like, no, nowadays you strictly tie it to footwork. Hey, 5-hitch clean to your first progression. If he's not there, reset and move on. We don't need to hold the football and stare at somebody. Reset, move on. If your second's there, he's not, reset, get to your check down. The plays naturally put defenders in conflict versus what we used to see more of would be like a mirrored concept where it's like, okay, hey, I'm going to pick on this defender. I'm going to watch him. Okay, if he bails with the smash, or if he bails with the smash corner, boom, I'm going to take the hitch. If he jumps the hitch, I'm going to take the smash corner. I don't think it's like as simplified as we sometimes make it sound. And I think the pure progression stuff really is the way, you know, kind of back to Lawrence, it's the way that we, you know, week in and week out, you can really make these young quarterbacks, these short weeks really count, as if we're installing more plays that naturally stress the defenders, and then we're coaching them and we're really hammering their footwork to work the progression correctly.
Jenkins also pushed back on the idea that keeping Caleb Williams in the pocket is the best strategy against him.
I hear people say that a lot, like, hey, we gotta, you know, if I'm playing Caleb, I keep him in the pocket. And I'm like, dude, I don't see that as a huge advantage for the defense. I don't see that as a huge place that he struggles. I honestly see where he struggled this week, in my opinion, was like, we just missed some balls that I don't think we're ever going to miss again. And like, I know on Hard Knocks, he said he doesn't get nervous. Like, that's just not true. Everybody knows that's not true. Like, Peyton Manning still gets nervous going on ESPN. The dude's worth $1 billion talking football, right? Like, I mean, everybody gets nervous, right? Like, it is what it is. I get nervous before I come on here, and then you guys team me up with a softball, and then I'm like, hell, I'm good to go again. You know, you guys are the best in the business. So to me, I'm like, I don't know. I don't think that's a recipe to beat him. I really don't. I think they're going to start gashing people. I think when I come on week 5, I really think it's going to be drastically light years ahead of this. I think what we saw was a rookie quarterback in week 1 miss a couple of layups that he'll never miss again. And I do think we saw a scheme that had some dudes running wide open on some big play opportunities, which, like, after what we went through last year, to me, the fact that we were trying to drive the football down the field and scheme up double moves, like, that's all I needed to see to be a happy guy.
Robert Mays of the Athletic Football Show joined us on Wednesday, and one of the things he told us is why he similarly isn't panicking after Caleb Williams struggled in week 1.
his down to down play at the quarterback position was significantly better than I think that final stat line would lead you to believe. So that
how and why
feel at least a little bit better. His eyes are going to the right place. He's playing on time for the most part when he's allowed to, when there's not instant pressure. The ball is going to where it probably should go. There are just weird accuracy issues. You know, obviously we have the out and up miss to Keenan Allen that should have been a touchdown, but you know, he dirted probably three or four throws over the middle of the field that it was just kind of weird to see. It's like, I don't understand why he's missing in that way. Low misses are better than high, and pretty much all of them were low. So if you want to spin it optimistically, that's fine. You had three batted balls that probably could have been completed. So I just think that completion percentage, based on how the game actually went, probably should have crept up closer to like 60-ish percent.
On Thursday, Matt Bowen explained where Bears can make corrections on offense in week two.
Now, can you come back this week and put 35, 40 points on the board? I don't think you should believe that, but you can see more. Just basic stuff, extending drives, right? One of the big narratives coming out of that game in week one is, well, Tennessee had the ball, right? Complete ball control. Well, that happens when you can't get first downs. You know, so where does that start? The third down passing game. What can we do to make corrections there against a team in Houston that is going to be more zone heavy at times? A lot of split safety coverage. How can we attack split safety coverage this week? How can we utilize the tight end position? Cole Kmet has to be a big part of the game plan this week, in my opinion, especially working the middle of the field versus those zone coverage. And with the quarterback, just get him to slow down a little bit. And you saw this with all the young quarterbacks this weekend. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix. Their internal clock was moving too fast at times. And at times that forces you to play frenetically, both with footwork and with your eyes. And I think you can get Caleb in better situations, especially in those critical downs, where he has leveled reads. We can get the ball out quickly. We can ID a positive matchup based on formation alignment and what you've seen in terms of defensive tendencies. They give him a clear and defined read where he can slow down, make the throw, move the sticks.
Bowen also said that if the Bears are going to hang with these superior Texans, one thing they're going to need, explosive plays.
There should be a jump from game one to game two and so on down the season. And even when you have steps backwards, because the young quarterbacks in this league are going to have down games somewhere in the middle of the season too. Can you then go forward the next week? So you do want to see progression offensively. You do want to see an offense win on third downs. You want to see an offense win inside the red zone, right, when they didn't last week. And those are the critical moments that win or lose football games. So can they execute better in the red zone? Can they execute more in third down? Can they create explosive plays? If you want to stay in the game versus Houston, you're going to have to create explosive plays in the pass game. There's no question about that. You have to. And you have to extend drives. Because look what Houston did last week against the Colts. They had 40 rushing attempts. C.J. Stroud had 32 passing attempts. That is complete ball control offense. And they are a different football team now with Joe Mixon at running back. They are different. That is an added dynamic to their football team that gives them a downhill runner with power on contact and can finish at the point of attack. And I think this is what Bobby Slowick wants to be. He wants to be balanced. You know, coming from that San Francisco coaching tree, he wants to be balanced. They want to use misdirection. They want to use pre-snap movement. And they want to be in position where they completely control the tempo of the football game. So if you're going to compete with them, especially on the road on a national stage, you have to create explosives on the pass game with Caleb Williams.
Bucky Brooks said there were some outsized expectations for Caleb in his first game.
I think week one was a kind of a back to reality moment for everyone around the program in terms of what he will be early until he settles in. I think what he found out is the speed and the tempo of the game escalates quickly once you get into the regular season. The complexities of the defense that you face from preseason to regular season change. So you see changing pictures. And I think he just has to kind of understand how the game has to be played to be successful. The one thing that I'm encouraged by is, look, the team was able to win without him bringing his A game. He was able to flash some things that we've seen him do time and time again in terms of the ball coming out, being on target, and those things. But it comes down to consistency. If I have to make a comparison or an analogy, I would really try and compare it to what Caitlin Clark experienced with the WNBA. I think if people go back and remember how her season started and look at how it ended, I would expect Caleb Williams to have a similar journey. It takes a while to adapt to pro sport, and no matter how high you're drafted, it still is an acclimation period. I think he'll catch up to it, but I think it may be a little slower than we anticipated based on the expectations and the reality of playing the National Football League.
I love the Wall of Sound. And speaking of the wall, you can join The Score's Shane Reardon for a football watch party Sunday, 6 to 8 p.m. at The Wall in Marcus Gurney Cinemas when Chicago takes on Houston in prime time. Enjoy some great food and drink and watch the game on The Wall's massive screen. That's Sunday from 6 to 8 with Shane Reardon at The Wall in Marcus Gurney Cinema. Great job, Studs. That was fine, fine work.